Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
All right, guys, and up next with me, we've got Shane Rickman. He's back on the mic with me. Now, I haven't spoke to Shane since I was out at Strength Depot. He's done a bunch of episodes of Strength Depositions with Chuck Zarowski. I was just talking to Chuck the other day. I ran into him at the gym. He's talking about getting another program going, so it'd be cool to hear that. But until that time, we've got the owner of Strength Depot with us. What's up, Shane? How you doing, man?
Not bad. How are you, Scott?
Doing really good, man. How's your training going? I haven't talked to you in forever.
I've been getting old. My training's been real hit or miss up until about three months or so. I got hooked up with Ben Pauly, who's doing my programming and is really ramping it up. So finally healthy and getting ready to go after. I got a comp coming up March 16th that I'll be competing in.
Nice.
My first one in almost a year. So.
So what do you have to do in this competition?
My events are, it's a Rolling Thunder, which is a one-arm last man standing deadlift. But the Rolling Thunder is a big, thick, 2.5-inch handle that spins. And it's my max weight right now is about 175. So if that says it's a last man standing, you know, you basically go till everybody drops out. Event two is a press medley. So we got the big circus dumbbells. You got to do two reps with each arm and you got to alternate. So you got to go right, left. And then with the time remaining, you got to hit for my weight class is a 225 pound log for as many reps as you can do.
How much does that dumbbell weigh?
125.
125.
So you can clean it with two hands, press it with one.
Okay, but the handle's really big, right?
Yeah, that's a 3-inch handle on those, and it's a monster. And we, which we'll get into, but Apollo Strength Equipment, which is it's my company, we're supplying that, so I should have a little bit of an advantage in that.
You get to practice with the actual equipment.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
The third one is a duck walk to power stairs. So a duck walk is basically like a T-handle loading pin. That you load the weights on and you carry it basically between your legs.
Okay.
So that's 325 pounds. So you go 30 feet with that and then up a set of four stairs and then run back cardio and a 355 pound pin 30 feet and then up the four stairs.
Okay. And what did you say you're weighing right now?
I have to be 231 for this competition.
Okay.
I've been, like I said, been training with Ben Pauly, who's doing my programming and just loads of volume and loads of strength. And I got on the scale a couple weeks ago and was at 252. I'd gone up about 9 pounds. So, we're adjusting now to get some of the cardio back, which is taking a little bit of the weight off. I was 246 or something the other day. So,
okay. We'll
get there.
Bad.
No problem.
That's not bad. You got a bunch of stuff that I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about, cause I know you got some new gym equipment. I have to hear about that cause I haven't been out to Strength Depot in a while. And since the last time we had you on, I know what you already mentioned, you started manufacturing equipment. But before we get to all that though, tell me about the big thing that you're putting together. What's it called?
Motor City Strongest Man. So this is the 10th year, with, United States Strongman that, we're doing Motor City Strongest Man. I've done it the last 2 years.
Nice.
Steve Barkley, who's the Michigan rep for U.S. Strongman, had held it the previous eight. And then last year, he wanted to compete in it. So he said, hey, do you mind running it? And I said, I'll absolutely take it over. So we kind of hit it hard, and we had 160 athletes last year that signed up for the Strongman portion of it.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we did it in conjunction with Detroit Barbell and J.J. Thomas and UPA Powerlifting. So we did it same venue down in Brownstown, and we made the mistake when we rented the venue of only getting two basketball courts.
Okay.
At the Brownstown Sportsplex, and we were packed. We had 500 paid spectators.
Damn.
and it was packed. There were a bunch of West Side lifters there. Louis Simmons was there. I mean, it was a huge event. So this year we went ahead and reserved four courts. That way there's plenty of room. And I've got 143 signed up already for the strongman. I'm not sure where JJ's at, but I know he's got quite a few signed up for the powerlifting. But it's just everything all in one venue, and it's really cool. Really cool atmosphere. We got had a bunch of vendors set up, and
that sounds awesome, man.
Yeah, it's a 10th year, so that's a qualifier to go to nationals for strongman, and that just a really cool, real big event. We got people from Illinois, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New York.
Okay,
bunch of strong athletes coming up.
That's pretty cool, man. It's something that I, you know, I know very little about it, but to be a spectator, I don't have to. Like every year at the Arnold Classic, they have that final event with the pro strongman that they do on the stage. And it's right. Like, I half the time I haven't even known that event until I see it. But when I see it, give me like 3 minutes to kind of figure it out. And then I'm like cheering and screaming, yeah, get it, one more, you know?
Yeah. And strongman is, JJ and I fight about it all the time, but strongman is so spectator friendly. I mean, we do the opposite of powerlifting. This is me busting their balls a little bit, but powerlifting, they're going to those, skinny Alico plates where, you know, Joe Blow spectator can't tell the difference between a 400-pound deadlift and an 800-pound deadlift.
Okay.
Whereas strongman, we have these like big train wheels that only weigh 250 pounds empty, but people look at it and they're like, oh, what is, you know, the joke around the gym is nobody knows. So it can be as much as you want on your Instagram page. So
yeah,
you go ahead and tell them whatever you want it to be.
That sounds like the trick I see everybody using now, where they use every gym across the country that I've been to now has bumper plates.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You can whip on like 3 25-pound plates. It looks like you're doing 315.
Yep.
So, I take it with, Motor City Strongest Man, you guys already have all of the events planned out. What will people be doing there?
Ooh, that one, we've got the first event's going to be a death medley. So it's that's something we always do at the gym for conditioning. And then once we started putting it together, we said, well, let's start out with that. So we've got it's a Husafell stone made by Apollo Strength Equipment, shameless plug. So I'll just go with middleweight weights real quick. So that's going to be a 225-pound Husafell stone, 30 feet. Put across the line, put it down, run back. You're going to grab a keg.
So a stone. So just because, see, some of my guys that are listening now, I know we probably have two crowds here. We've got your crowd listening and we got my crowd listening.
Right.
A lot of my crowd might not know what a Husafell stone is.
So the Husafell stone's like old school Scotland, where you see the big stone. It was actually was in front of a goat path at one time.
Okay.
And that's how the guy blocked off predators from coming in, and then he was big enough to be able to pick it up and carry it out of the way and move it. But so now they have the manhood stones in Ireland that you got to pick up. So it's a natural stone, but we do it, make it a little more friendly to your average Joe Blow. So ours are made out of metal. Oh. And then it's hollow, and you can fill it. We fill it with sandbags.
Okay.
So it's 115 pounds empty, and then we fill it with sandbags up to, but it's shaped kind of like almost like a coffin. Like a Superman emblem almost.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yep. Okay. Okay. Yep.
So yeah. So it's Husafell stone, run back 30 feet, grab a keg 30 feet, come back, and it's a sandbag. It's around a 225-pound sandbag.
Good God.
30 feet, and then you come back, and we, just to really torment people, we got a 55-pound, 55-gallon drum that's filled partially with water. So they're 75, 100, 150 pounds, and it just sloshes like crazy.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's the fourth event. So you're, you know, 45 seconds in or so, and it's awful. So
that's it. You're 45 seconds in by the time you're grabbing the last item.
Right. So we've been practicing at the gym with guys, and everybody's right around, like, pushing right that 1 minute. You know, the guys who actually finish are finishing right close to a minute. So,
and that's pretty good. I take it. That's what you're shooting for.
It's earned the moniker of the death medley for sure.
I don't know if I could do that even without, like, in 1 minute without carrying stuff.
You mean the 120 feet?
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that's happening, man. And right, not in 1 minute, not running there and back.
Second event we have is it's going to be a Viking press. I'm sorry. So a Viking press is basically one arm that you press with both hands. So it's got, so it's going to be a neutral grip. They're about 26 inches apart. And then it's on a lever. You got one central station that's got the weight on it, and you just press overhead. So it's a, but it's one single lever, but you're pressing with two arms, and that's for reps in a minute.
I'm checking this out. I'm looking this up because that doesn't make a ton of sense to me yet. I'm going to see what a Viking press looks like. Oh, okay. So this is, let's see, I have to click on images here to get a better idea. Okay, so this, it almost looks, this is like a machine?
Yep, yeah. Well, I mean, Apollo Strength is making that also. So it's, the way we made it, it's going to be a Viking press and a Conan's wheel, which is another one of the events. So
oh, no kidding. It's
basically one central station that can double as a weight tree at your gym, which is what it's going to do for us. And then it's got a lever on top that's about 8 feet long that extends to you. So that's going to be right around shoulder height.
Yep.
And then you just press with two hands straight up overhead for a lockout. You're actually going to be leaned forward slightly.
Oh, okay.
Just because of the fulcrum, the motion of it.
It reminds me of like a some type of a hammer strength standing overhead press is the way I would describe it to anybody at home that isn't familiar with this device. Does that sound about right?
Yep, that's about right.
Okay, cool. So you said that's the first part, right?
That's the first one. And then that same piece of equipment is going to be the last event, which is a Conan's wheel. So we're going to take that the lever off that you're pressing with, and we put just a big 10-foot long pole that spins around. So you're basically going to walk in circles. It seems silly when you say it out loud.
So we all know this one because we've seen Conan, you know.
So you wait it up, and that's going to be the last event of the day. So that's just for max distance. There's no time limit. There's no anything. Just an absolute gut check, end of the day. Hoping it comes down to, you know, competitor A versus competitor B. They're tied in points. Let's see who can go the longest. So,
well, you're already so burnt out from everything else at that point.
Oh, yeah. And that actually just you got the up on your chest and it's compressing your and making breathing really, really difficult. So
that's
a great finisher.
So back to this overhead press that you guys are doing. Now, this is probably like the most relatable movement out of everything you guys are doing at the show that I can relate to as a bodybuilder. What kind of weight will you guys be pressing with that lever?
So because of where the weight sits on the implement itself, the amount of weight that we have on there equates to about 65% of what's actually in hand.
Interesting. Okay.
So the lightweight guys, I don't have it in front of me. I'm kind of going off the top of my head, but lightweight guys are right around 180 pounds.
Okay.
And then middleweights, I believe, is 210 or 220. And then the heavyweight guys are up around 245 or so.
Okay. And that's a lot of weight, man. And then how many reps on average do you guys get with something like that?
With Strongman, the way you, as a promoter, the way you want to do it is you want it to be in three. So you want the top guys to get right around five or six reps.
Ah.
And then so that's you want one third of the guys to get five or six reps, a third of the guys to get two to three, and then if a third of the guys get zeros, then you did it right. So
okay.
That's old school thinking. A lot of people don't like it. You know, when I put out the weights, a lot of people are like, that's way too heavy, but it's kind of,
maybe it's too heavy for you, but that makes sense, man. 'Cause you got to figure out how to keep it competitive. I imagine too, with, all the technology and better understanding of training, you know, everything I can relate in bodybuilding, everything has gotten more effective over time. I imagine that the weights you guys have to pick have gone up over time too.
Right. And you know, the stuff that guys were doing in World's Strongest Man in 1985, you see at local competitions now. So
the
sport is really taking out. The weights are getting ridiculous. I mean, guys pressing a 400-pound log nowadays happens quite often, where, you know, that would have been outrageous in even 1990. So
and it's crazy, man, the difference of doing, like I should say, I can't speak for everyone. I do a lot of like seated overhead dumbbell press, but the second you stand up trying to do that same thing, even with like half the weight, you engage so much more of your body.
Exactly. Yep.
I've been trying to do that more just for that reason, you know, to try to get that more functional strength. Let me ask you this. Just in your lifetime in Strongman, have you seen the weights increase?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I remember the one of the first shows I did, I was just talking about this the other day, I think the the log at the first Motor City I did was 170 pounds.
Okay.
And then, for instance, the one when I'm doing, like I said, March 16th, is part of a medley is 225 pounds. So,
and that's part of, like, that's like a superset, basically.
Exactly, right. So that's, I'm doing that at the end of doing, you know, six reps of the circus dumbbell. So
that's nuts, man. So out of everything you guys are going to have, which, so to be clear, you're not competing in this, right? This is just a promotion.
Right. I'm not competing in Motor City Strongest Man, just because I'm supplying the equipment. I made up the event, so.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fair. I'm on the outside, I can tell you that.
I always joke, if I was making up a competition that I was competing in, it would be like tricep press downs and free throws and maybe a prone hamstring curl, like something I'm good at. So
okay, but, well, yeah. What I was going to ask you, though, is out of everything you guys are going to be doing at the event, what's your favorite one?
The one the crowd really likes, we're doing a sandbag toss, so they're the sandbags, and then we have a bar set up that's, depending on your class, going to be between 11 and 15 feet high.
Okay.
And then the competitors got three bags, ranging from anywhere from the lightweights are 20, 25, 30, to the heavyweights are doing 30, 35, 40. So you're throwing 40-pound bags over, you know, a 15-foot bar. So that's always a big crowd pleaser.
I bet. So what is a lightweight guy and a middleweight guy weigh?
So lightweight is up to 181 pounds.
Okay.
Middleweight is up to 220, and then the heavyweight goes up to 274, and then supers are 275 and above.
Okay. So you guys are moving some serious weight then. That's cool, man. Yeah. So you've mentioned a few times now, Apollo Strength. You guys are going to be supplying the event with all the equipment. I didn't even know you're doing this. Well, I kind of did, because I do still stalk you on Facebook and Instagram, but I haven't talked to you since you guys started doing this. Tell me about the company. How did you get started with making the equipment?
Yeah, this took off. So last time I was on, remember we were talking about doing the stuff for Relentless Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, a lot of the kids from Relentless liked taking the shirts from the lifters. And the story was they would like wearing those shirts to their chemo appointments and doctor appointments. And,
nice.
So it was always like these, you know, smaller kids wearing big 2X, 3X t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Minnesota Relentless came up after that, I said, you know what, I'm going to make a bunch of kid size shirts, put my logo on it, you know, for a little promotion. Then I put a little saying on the back and sent 50 shirts up to Minnesota.
What was the saying, out of curiosity?
It just said stronger than you is what I put. So
nice.
You know, it was, you know, a bunch of kids going to doctor appointments, and I thought it was fitting.
I love it, so, man. That is cool.
So this guy contacted me. We had a couple mutual friends, but I'd never talked to him before. Matt Sorna is his name.
Okay.
And he said, hey, my son loves working out. He loves, you know, Rocky movies are his favorite.
Oh, yeah.
He said, do you mind if I come up and buy one of those shirts? And I'm like, yeah, man, come on up. So him and his son come up, and he's walking around the gym, like looking at everything, like, you know, running his hand. What I know now, running his hands over the welds and taking a look.
Mm.
And he said, who makes all this equipment for you? And I said, well, outside of Rogue, you know, there's no huge supplier.
Okay.
It's usually guys out in their, you know, out in their garage. And that's why before, when you would go to strongman competitions, you know, sometimes your farmer's carries would be, you know, something that some guy made up out of, you know, out of big, tubes that he had laying around, or there was no standardized equipment.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, right. So he said, dude, I could make any of the stuff. I'm a fabricator. You know, I work for a steel company.
Huh.
And he said, he said, I've got the know-how. I've got the fabrication experience. He goes, you've got the gym and the social media presence. He goes, let's make a couple items and see, you know, see what happens. So we made, I think, circus dumbbell first, put a little twist on it. Huh. You know, ours have a little arm on the side, so we can make it a little bit thinner. So the 12-inch circus dumbbell that we have weighs 90 pounds empty.
Okay.
The one that we were looking at that we kind of, you know, took the design from was 135 pounds empty. So that's not something you can warm up with a one-arm press.
Not me, at least.
Right. So we made ours a little bit thinner material, but we put a brace on the side and made it, you know, like a real cool design. And then it kind of took off, and people were like, yeah, we sent a couple out to local gyms, you know, people that I know that would make a good review, and it took off. I got a bunch of people asking questions like, hey, do you make this? So then we made some farmer's sandals.
Huh.
Then we made the Husafell stone.
Okay.
And then my buddy Todd Georgie, who owns New York Strong in New York, right outside New York City, was hosting nationals last year, and he called me and said, "Hey, would you guys be interested in supplying a car deadlift frame and sleds for nationals next year?" And I'm like, "Okay, absolutely! Like, you know, we'll jump all over that just to get our name out there."
Yeah, I assume that's got to be huge because everybody from around the country is going to be coming there. I'm assuming.
Yep. 300 athletes. And the way we did with our car deadlift is we made it. I'm an engineer, and I've always been in strongman saying, "Gee, I want, you know, if they would just do this, it would make it," but never with the idea of my own to design something.
Yeah.
So when Matt and I got together and we said, "Hey, let's make this modular." So a car deadlift frame, basically you back your car up onto it. It's gotta be wide enough for your wheels to sit in the cradle. And then you pick up the back of your car or front of your car, but back's a little bit lighter.
Yeah. I'd go with the back of a VW Mini Cooper maybe.
So, we did that and we made ours modular. So they wouldn't fit in the back of a pickup truck. You'd have to hang it out the side, put a flag in the back. Oh, so God. We made ours modular. So it fits in the back of a pickup truck.
Nice.
And you can make the lever longer, shorter. So you could use the same car and a couple of different people of varying strengths. You can shorten the lever to make it a heavier pull, lengthen it to make it. So when we went for the women's before, people would add plates to it. And, you know, there was a lot of math involved.
Okay.
So for instance, we had, were they Chevy Aveos or something? So for the lightweight women, we made it as long as possible. Then for the middleweights, we used the same car, but just shortened it. And everybody that was there was blown away going, "Why in the hell has no one ever thought of this before?" You know,
that's so cool.
So it was one of those things that was a real simple concept. And people had done that. I'd seen some before, but no one had really marketed it or put it out there, you know, as a to the masses.
That's cool, man.
Then we did a sled that, people pulled. They did a backwards sled pull. And then we made that also double as a, they did a truck pull. So they pulled it, sat in there, and we put a footrest up there so they could put their feet on to pull the truck to them. So that served two different purposes, two different events.
I like how you're able to kind of, I'm sure too, that's got to be a cool selling point to anybody else that would be interested in purchasing this equipment, that if you're spending a bunch of money on this, you know, big chunk of machinery, basically, it's going to, if it could do more than one thing, that's a bonus, you know?
Exactly. And the good news is with all the prototypes that Matt makes and design, we have them at the Strength Depot for everybody to use. So
perfect.
We're making all the equipment for Motor City.
Nice.
So that helps my athletes and anybody who trains there, but also makes me a ton of money off of drop-ins, right? For anybody who's wanting to do Motor City, I always say, "Well, hey, you can get your hands on the actual implements right here coming out." And so it's benefited us quite a bit. So we're also supplying equipment June of this year. Nationals is going to be in Columbus. So we're supplying yokes and wagon wheels and a sled for that one as well.
Nice, man. Yeah, I just started pushing the sled recently. It's amazing how much cardio strength it takes to just go, 50 feet and back.
Yeah, I'm just getting into the cardio aspect of my training, and it's killing me.
You're kind of saying that, in the start, you're trying to build that back up. I wanted to ask you more. If we have time toward the end, I am going to ask you a little bit more about how that works. But I want to hear more about the equipment and stuff. So because it takes me back, you talking about the equipment. When we first spoke, you told me about where Strength Depot really began, and it wasn't in the gym. You guys were just in your garage. Would you please retell that story for me, for everybody who didn't hear the first episode with you on it?
Yeah, I literally had one log that a buddy of mine from back home. I grew up in the sticks of Ohio, so a buddy of mine was looking at it. He said, "Dude, I could make you one of those." So he made me a wooden log.
Yeah,
I had a couple kegs, a couple stones, a tire, and some farmer's handles that were, again, made by somebody out in their garage.
Yeah.
And we just had people coming out on weekend. You know, of course, we squatted, deadlifted, benched, did all that. And it was to the point where we'd have 20, 25 people going up and down the street in my neighborhood. And then I started training, not training, but training with people. And then I got more and more people coming out, especially as CrossFit started adapting and started adopting more and more strongman movements.
Okay.
I got a lot of CrossFitters coming out saying, "Hey, I heard they're going to have a yoke or a farmer's carry or something. And then Tina Kinsley, who was the co-owner of Strength Depot, had come out and trained a couple times. And she just said, with all these people there, like, have you never thought of opening your own place? And I just said, you know, I've got two kids and single dad with a full-time job. And
yeah.
And I'm not good at being the authoritarian, even with, you know, guys would leave my gym or my garage just a shithole, like water bottles all over the place, man. And chocolate. But I was never the guy to be like, hey, you know, assholes, clean up after yourself, or throw me a couple bucks, because I was supplying water and stuff like that.
Right.
And she's 17 years in the military, and she said, I will handle all of the administrative portion of it. You get people there.
Oh, wow.
So I said, all right, why not? So we started looking around. I sent out a blanket, whether it was via text or messenger on Facebook, and just said, hey, if we find a spot, charge $50 a month, who's interested? And we had just an overwhelming, the first place we had was about 2,300 square feet, and we had 30 members, 35 members.
Yeah.
And not even enough equipment to fill that. We had a monolift and a bench, and then all my strongman stuff. Built a deadlift platform out of plywood and rubber mats. And then it just took, I mean, we've been in the black from day one, basically. So we went from there to a space that was about 3,500 square feet, and then got evicted from there, actually, for dropping deadlifts. And
you guys had people were using instruments that needed everything, like the calibrated instruments that needed to be held still, right?
Yeah, it was a gas spectrometer the guy was, which it just sounds cool to say. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but
it does sound cool.
It was measuring stuff to the micron. So,
and then boom.
exactly. So we found the spot in Plymouth that was 6,000 square feet, like 6,100 square feet.
Yes.
And I remember walking in going, this is way too, like, we're never going to fill this.
Yeah.
And we're busting out of the seams now. I'm trying to buy out. There's a woman next door to us that has a storage unit.
Okay.
That's about 1,500 square feet. And we have offered her cash to get out, just because we need, I mean, we've got stuff on stacked on top of stuff in corners. So
that's crazy, man. You must have gotten a lot. I can't remember when I was out there, but it's been a year or so at least, and it was pretty filled out at that point. You had space, but it was like, it didn't look like you could have really squeezed it into a much smaller room. So
yeah, we got in another squat rack. We got a west side inverse leg curl machine.
Oh, nice.
I hit the jackpot with a Facebook marketplace find at a Salvation Army in Flint.
What?
This summer.
What'd you can find there?
Some guy posts on Starting Strongman and says, there's a bunch of strongman equipment at a Salvation Army in Flint, but they won't separate anything, and they want $300. And he took a picture from about 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm zooming in, you know, with my thumb zooming in, and I go, that looks like a Concept 2 rower and a GHR.
What are those run for?
The GHR ended up being a brand new Sorenx GHR that's $1,575.
Oh, wow.
With a 15-week lead time if you order one.
Oh, my gosh.
So I threw the trailer on the back of the Jeep and just blindly started. It was a Friday night. Started driving up to Flint.
Holy
and I called
crap.
Them and I said, I will give you my credit card over the phone. And the woman started laughing, and she goes, everybody's called and said that. It's first come, first serve. So now I'm flying.
Yeah.
Get up there, and it's a Concept 2 rower, which are, you know, those are $900 or so.
Okay.
This GHR that was $1,500, a bunch of Iron Mind equipment, which is from the UK, and it's very strongman specific. So it's someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But all the equipment was brand new, like the diamond plate. The diamond plating on the GHR still had the plastic film over it.
Oh, my gosh. Never used.
A Sorenx decline bench, a Sorenx preacher curl with bar. Wow. I mean, I ended up pricing everything out and putting it on my Facebook, but it was $6,000 worth of stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You got it for what, $300?
$300. So,
oh, wow.
So I told a guy helped us carry it out, and I tried tipping him $50.
Yeah.
And he goes, we can't take tips. And I said, ease my conscience and take this money. Like I feel like, you know, from the Salvation Army, I feel like I'm, stealing from somebody. And they just wouldn't do it. And they said, no, we priced it the best we could. And I'm like, man. So I felt bad. But it was funny because I bought some flooring from Midland, Michigan, some mats. And I started to tell the story. And the guy goes, I've heard this. He goes, people were talking about this the other day, that was the steal of the century. So,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things that...
You're the guy that got him.
Yeah, kind of like the guy who buys a painting at auction and finds the Declaration of Independence behind it or something like that.
Yeah. I bought a lamp from Salvation Army a few months ago. I just thought it looked cool. It was worth $90. So it's not as good as your story, though.
Right.
It's a lamp. It's $90.
Right.
Hey, guys. Why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
Turns on and off. I can't remember what kind of leg curl is that I was using when I was over there.
I remember you loved the belt squat when you were there.
Oh, I loved the belt squat, and right behind it, you had a leg curl.
The Rogue.
Okay, it was Rogue. That's who it was. Yeah. I loved the angle on that thing. That was really cool. It was great to warm. So I warmed up there, and then I went to the belt squat. I've used a few belt squats since then. That's my favorite. I used one that was just like that out in Portland. I love the way that one feels. Are you guys getting a lot of use out of that?
Oh yeah, we use it like crazy.
Yeah,
I just had a guy. Some of the guys because there's the sandbag in the Motor City Medley. I had a couple of the guys doing so that you put the belt squat on. You put the belt, the weight around your belt, and then had them bending over doing the sandbag picks with the added weight of the belt on there, and then doing some marches with it. And it was one of those we hate you but we love you kind of deals.
That's cool, man. We just had a contest on one of my other shows, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. And we gave the prize to a guy that did a strongman event. It was the most intense set was the goal, and record it and tag us in it. And he's I think 185 pounds, and he picked up this big Atlas stone. I think it was 250, and put it up to one hand on his shoulder. I could tell you the effort that stuff takes. My lower back, when I think of picking up one of those stones, you have to round your back around that, don't you?
Oh yeah, I actually just did Atlas stones tonight. That was part of my workout. But yeah, stones are, and that's what the appeal of strongman to me is. And I've said it 100 times, whether it's just the big dumb animal in me or what, but I can't sit and do 4 sets of 12 of anything because I have ADHD. But if you tell me, pick that big rock up and put it up there, you know, I'll be like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, unga, unga, I'll try that.
Yeah. It's something else, man. It's funny because I train basically every day, and it's stuff that I can't do, you know, whatsoever. There's a couple more things I do want to talk to you about here today. I know that you've got some fundraisers coming up and, you know, future competitions and stuff, but I do, if we have a minute, I wanted to step back though and ask you about that conditioning stuff. Tell me what does it take to condition your body to be able to do these medleys and things like that? You said you're working that more into your program now.
Yep. So for the Atlas stones for my competition, for instance, it's just five stones. Excuse me, but it goes to varying height. So the first one is to 66 inches.
Okay, yeah.
But it's only 170 pound stone. But 66 inches is, you know, basically eye level for most people. So the plan basically is to get, and then it goes down to 44 inches, which is a 260 pound stone. Mm. But Ben's got me right now doing, today I did a 256, it's an odd weight, but a 256 pound stone for 3 sets of 5 over the bar. So it's exceeding anything that I'm going to see in the competition, but I know that doesn't sound like conditioning to most people, but a 256 pound stone is probably 75-80% of my max, you know, for a set of five. So it's literally, I would do the fifth one and then sit down and put my hands up over my head and breathe real heavy for a long time.
So you're telling me you just do, when you say a set of five, you're doing it back to back?
Yep. So it's five. So I'm doing over a yoke. So today I was doing it over a 52 inch yoke.
Okay.
So I'd load the 256 pound stone, and then I had someone on the other side would push it back over to me. And so it's a set of five as quickly as you can.
Okay. So contrast that to not working on conditioning, just working on your sheer strength. I take it what happens, you're doing less reps with more weight.
Yeah, less rep and more weight, and then more time in between, and more rest, a higher rest interval for that.
No kidding, man. Hey, go ahead.
I'd worked up to a 333 pound stone before when I was just simply working just strength.
Good God, I don't know how you don't hurt yourself doing that, man. All you guys, it's nuts. And you know what else too? I noticed it's not just like big burly dudes with beards like yourself. I've seen people of all walks of life that are doing strongman with you guys.
This is totally going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but when I first started strongman, even Motor City, like if there were two girls or two women doing it, it was kind of like a big deal. Like, oh man, there's two girls here.
Yeah.
So we did, it just came up on my timeline the other day. I think it was 4 years ago, just because I was seeing a lot of women coming out to my garage. And the satisfaction they got from loading an Atlas stone or doing a farmer, you know, something that they never would have thought they were able to do.
Yeah.
Like just seeing the sheer, holy shit, look on their face. I said, well, let's do a women's only strongman workshop.
No kidding. Okay.
We did that in my buddy, Chris Huff's gym, P80, which is before I even had my place, he let me use it, P80 Fitness. And I had it out there. And I had 31 women on Facebook that said they were coming.
Okay.
So that means 15 are going to show right. up, right?
Right, right.
We had 40, I think it was 41, 37 or 41 women
You're
that
kidding.
Showed up to do this. It was insane. So we were just going to do two stations, and we ended up doing like five stations. Steve Barkley was there, Dean Nassenbitten. So we luckily had enough coaches to cover it, but it was huge. And then the little girl, Alicia, who I'd met through Relentless that I spoke with on the first podcast.
Yeah.
I held a fundraiser for her family, and it was a women's only, you know, strong woman comp, and ended up having it was over 30. So
nice.
I'm not saying I'm responsible for it, but the group in Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, because I've always got tons of people that come out and help. We have now signed up for Motor City this year. 51 women signed up already.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's huge. So it's really taken off. That's why I love in the CrossFit women are starting to venture over too.
That makes sense.
So right. So yeah, we're getting away from the big ugly men like me and starting to see starting to give people a reason to come out and take a look at strongman.
That's pretty cool, man. So I know in the past, like when you mentioned Relentless, that you guys put fundraising together and stuff with the money that you make, which I think that's cool. I don't see that, and we've talked about this before, I don't see that in bodybuilding where, you know, like if you come out to this contest, we're going to fund muscular dystrophy with a percentage of the proceeds. I have to ask, is there any type of a fundraiser involved with the Michigan program, the Michigan Strongest Man that you're doing here,
yeah,
or Motor City?
Motor City Strongest Man. We do every year. Steve has done it towards a scholarship. He's a coach at Warren Mott High School.
Okay.
So he's always given a portion of the money towards a scholarship for one of his football athletes.
Oh, that's cool.
And then last year we made so much money just because we charged at the door. You know, I told you we had 500 paid spectators last year.
Oh, yeah.
So this year we decided we're going to do the Warren Mott scholarship fundraiser. And then we're also going to use some of the funds toward my son. I've got a son who's a freshman at Franklin High School.
Okay.
In the orchestra, he plays the violin, and they're always doing, you know, like pizza sales, and, you know, the orchestra is heavily underfunded. So going to use money and give that to the Livonia Franklin Orchestra this year also.
That's really cool, man. That's awesome. I remember the first time I really met you in person was at the location where you guys were eventually kicked out for dropping stuff. You guys, that was, I believe, was that one of the Relentless events? I can't remember for sure, but there was a situation a woman had, I believe, had cancer, And yeah, she was there to, I can tell you, it was such a crazy experience. I came out, watched you guys lift a bunch of heavy stuff. And then she told her story. I felt so good about not only coming to see it and having fun, but knowing that I was with a bunch of people that really cared for this woman. It was cool.
Yeah, and that was a woman that I had worked with in the past when I was bouncing downtown, and found out, like, young, healthy, 32 years old, and then found out she had cancer, two young kids. So it's I find a lot of times everybody likes giving, everybody likes doing the right thing, but if you don't have the means, or you don't know exactly how to give or where to give, you know,
yeah.
I mean, people don't go out and seek it, but if you show someone, hey, here's what we're doing. I mean, I get just an overwhelming response to any time we do any kind of a fundraiser. So that's, I love using the gym for that platform of, like I said, I hate telling this way, but, the co-owner Tina she's a dermatologist. She's a doctor. I'm an engineer. We didn't start the gym to make money.
Yeah.
So we use all the money we make. I mean, the gym's very profitable. We put it right back into new equipment. And then anytime we do a fundraiser, anytime we do any kind of event, it goes towards something. So I love the platform. I love how it brings people together. Like you said, you know, like we've discussed before, I get people from other gyms. We did on January 1st, we did Deadlifting Donuts. It's the fifth year we've done it. And it goes towards the pit bull rescue where I got my dogs from.
Okay.
And we raised over $2,000 cash. And then we had tons of, like, dog food. And before that, in September, we did a fundraiser for a little girl whose family was killed on the east side in a fire.
Mm.
And
was she, was that the Radosovac family by chance?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I knew Steve and his wife. They're good people. You guys did a fundraiser for them.
Yep, we did.
No kidding.
Was it September, October? I forget, but Mike Folks, you know Mike.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He worked with Steve.
Oh, that's right, he did. That's right. Yep.
So Mike just came to me and said, hey, you know, can we do something for the family? And I'd never met Steve personally, but, you know, sounded like a man's man. You know, he's a lifter. He had a Corvette, I believe, had kids. Said, you know, seemed like a real cool dude. So I always put myself in that position. Like, God forbid, something like that. You know, I would want someone to step up and take care of my kid and help out as much as possible. So we kind of threw that together last minute, and we raised this close to $2,500 in cash, and then just a ton of clothes.
Oh,
and,
man.
And when I put it out there, and it's not just my people, like Hale Strength and Fitness, which is another strongman. It's a women's only strongman gym, but about a mile away from me. So
okay.
I'm not sure if we're competitors or not. I love Kurt. He's the owner there. But so the women from Hale brought, I mean, just bags and bags and bags of clothes to give to Mia. So,
oh, wow.
So it's really cool how the community, a bunch of people from Rochester Performance Gym brought stuff. So it's cool, man. Like we've discussed before, the whole community of strength sports, whether it's bodybuilding, powerlifting, strongman, really come out for stuff like that. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that is something else, man. And like I said too earlier, I think it's really cool that you guys can tie that in a way to be able to give back to the community. You mentioned your dogs, man. You got them from a rescue, huh? That's how I Betsy, my dog, is a rescue as well.
Yeah, both. I got two pits who are both they're gray. They're the bluish color, which is,
you know, oh yeah, yeah.
But it's funny how many times I'm gonna get on a soapbox, but I hate people who breed pits and think they're going to get rich. And I mean, there's so many that are in pounds and shelters, and
there is, especially here in Detroit.
Yeah. And are euthanized. And it drives me crazy. Yeah. My pit, they found tied up in an abandoned house in Detroit.
You're kidding,
she's,
man,
the sweetest dog in the world. So like, I hate when I'm out walking my dogs and people come up and be like, hey, are those blues? Like, you ever breed them? And I just fucking go, I go off on people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, go to a rescue. Like,
yeah, you really,
instead of asking me to breed my dogs, go to a shelter. So yeah, it's always fun. Like, people can't believe that my dogs are rescues, and I'm like, there's beautiful dogs and shelters and rescues everywhere. Just go look.
There is, man. I think it's an ego thing for some people. They want, you know, they want this perfect dog that's going to be like a representation, an extension of who they are or who they want to be, you know?
Yeah. So we actually had at this Deadlifts and Donuts, we had, they brought the dogs out. I work with the Buster Foundation out of Belleville.
Okay.
And they brought these dogs out, and this dog last year, she was out, Missy, just the sweetest dog. I mean, just beautiful dog. And when they brought we've talked about this before, what a big sissy I am. But so this year, they start bringing the dogs again, and it's, it's Missy, the same dog. And like, it almost brought me to tears. Like, how is this dog still in a rescue?
Yeah.
So I had put on my Facebook and I said, I will pay $150 towards her $300 adoption fee if somebody adopts Missy. So then I put, just because I'm an idiot, I said, if this gets 200 shares, I'll pay her full adoption fee of $300. And dude, within an hour and a half, it had 400 shares.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, man.
So actually tomorrow we're doing the, she did a meet and greet this weekend with a family out in St. Clair Shores, I believe.
Okay.
And they won her. So they're bringing Missy to the gym tomorrow and we're doing a handover of the $300 and,
and
telling her goodbye to go to her forever home. So pretty cool.
That's really cool, man. What did you mention a little bit ago? You said that you were somehow involved with fundraising for the rescue as well.
So I just got involved with, when I got, Artemis, my second dog.
Yeah.
I just, was out at the house, Joni's house. And I mean, this woman just cares about these dogs so much. And then like talking to her, like she doesn't make money off that. It's just purely volunteer. And they count on, they count on people donating money and donating food and donating time and all these people who are fosters. So I just said, hey, there's gotta be something we can do. So the first year, which was 3 years ago, I said, hey, why don't we do the fundraiser for them? And I forget the first year, I embellish a lot, but I just remember we had two full truckloads full of like food and crates and beds and cash. And I remember Joni hugging me, like crying.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh my God, this is a gold mine. You know, this is months of work that, what would typically take months to get this kind of money and food. And so then I said, that's sold. We'll do this every year for him. So January 1st, every year we do Deadlifts and Donuts and, basically, Looney Baker and Livonia donated like 13 dozen donuts and people bring in mimosas. I've always got a full stocked bar at the gym. So we were hair of the dog on January 1st at 10 a.m. doing bourbon shots and deadlifting and petting dogs. So sounds like a perfect day.
Yeah, that's funny, man. That sounds awesome. You give me the donuts and I'm there, man.
Right. Oh yeah. We called Looney Baker and this was the second year they've done it and they said, "Yeah, come on out. We'll donate 13 dozen." So.
Right on.
I've
got one more training question for you. I'm just working these in as I think of them. So how many times a week are you working out in the gym considering you're working on conditioning? So right now, how many times will you get in there and do stuff?
I'm 4 days right now, and the fourth day is actually just when I do one of my events we didn't get to is a arm over arm sled drag.
Arm over arm sled drag. Oh, so wow, yeah, yeah.
So it's a 50-foot rope, and it's actually on a rubber surface, which makes pretty tough. So my fourth day is just the event. So that's when I do the duck walk and then that arm over arm pull. So I've just increased the number of sets that I do and increase the weight. So my comp weight is, I believe, like 280.
Okay.
So I've been doing like 340, 350 pounds for five sets of that. So just kind of bumping up the number of sets and reps and weights. And
okay. How long does it take you to pull a sled? If you said it's with a 50-foot rope.
Yeah, I actually just posted, on my Instagram the other day, I did a 50-foot and that one was, I think that was 290, and then I had one of my members had her 4-year-old there, and she jumped on the sled. So, so it was close to about 320 pounds, and I did it. I think it was a 17-second video or so.
17 seconds. So was that is that long enough for your arms to start burning? Because I feel like mine would be fried.
Yeah, it was fried, especially by the third or fourth set. It's just absolutely burnt.
So, as far as Motor City Strongest Man goes, I didn't ask you yet. When is this happening? And if anybody wants to get out there and check it out, where can they go to buy tickets and stuff?
Tickets are sold at the door.
Okay.
And it's March 9th and it's at the Brownstown Sportsplex, which is on Telegraph. There is an event page on Facebook, just Motor City Strongest Man X. This is the 10th year. I also have, an Instagram, account just for Motor City Strong. Now it's Motor City Strongest X. I actually change it depending on which show I'm promoting.
Okay.
It's $10 at the door. And like I said, that gets you into, you can see the UPA powerlifting and the strongman back and forth. We're going to have vendors. And like I said, just very, very cool atmosphere.
Nice. Guys, I'm going to have those show notes in the synopsis for the program. So if you're on iTunes, you can look at the notes there, or if you're on the website there, we'll also have it posted on our Facebook too. So you can check that out, man. How long does the day last?
Last year, even with 160 athletes last year, we started at 10 and we were done by 3:30. That's handing out awards. We actually got everything in the U-Haul back to Plymouth and unloaded it, and then went and ate pizza at Herman's downtown Plymouth. And I think we were eating by 6:30. So,
okay. So, cool.
Yeah. The show was wrapped up by 3:30.
I'll tell you, that's the one thing, I've seen that I don't envy with you. I've seen you hauling equipment around. And when you guys have to load all that stuff up.
It's awful.
It doesn't look fun. That's a workout in itself, literally.
Yep.
All right, man. Is there anything else here we're missing?
Nothing. I'm sure as soon as we hang up, I'll think of something.
Right?
I'll text you. I'll text you anything else that needs to go in the notes.
All right, cool, man. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm really glad that we could get back with you. Like I said before, you know, this is a world outside of my own. But it's a similar world. I can relate to it. I can see what you guys are doing, and I love what you guys are doing to help the community too. I think that just, it means so much, man.
Yep. And you're welcome anytime. So come on out. I can,
awesome.
I can go through some calf envy again. And...
yeah, I would love to. I'll have to come out and hit the belt squad again and see what else you have, and try not to do anything too crazy and hurt myself to impress you guys.
Right. Cool. Anytime.
All right, guys, this has been Shane Rickman. He's going to be putting together the Motor City Strongest Man. Guys, we will see you soon. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.